and this world shall know pain. We are here.
So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech and Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right. So we are the current two Meeches of pain right now in the past that you can walk. But for those listening, this is something that we like to do. It's called a character study series. Obviously, if you clicked on it, you see the title. We are doing Pain from Naruto. One of the most important characters ever created in anime, and also just like one of the most impactful, for one that I don't think, like, not being the main villain of a series, but like being able in his one, like, you know, stint and multiple arcs that he covered, just being like so just like, wow, character shifting in a change. So we're going to get into that. Before let's hit that legal spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources you reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised. No pain.
All right. So with character study series, something that we like to do. It's a segment that we don't do too often, but it's like an episode format. So we go through a character's entire arc. We see their journey, break down, kind of get a sense of their environment, their motivations, what made the character into who they are, how they affected the main character in a sense. For a lot of them, they're not the main characters that we've done, but we have done a few. Just as an example, we've done Venom, which was probably our first character study. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Vegeta, which was a great one. Vegeta was a super fun one. We did a two-part Naruto character study, then Gaara, and then one of my favorite ones, Immortal Hulk, where you can see my love for the Hulk and how they did him wrong in the MCU. But but with that, we're getting into pain. So Meech, what do you like want to start with this character?
Man, I just want to tell you guys straight up that Pain, he is my favorite Naruto villain. I don't care about nobody else. Obito, Madara, Orochimaru's zesty behind, it doesn't matter. It's all about Pain. It's all about his philosophy. We about to get into that philosophy, you know what I'm saying? And this is he probably had one of the greatest arcs I've ever seen, and probably one of the greatest pull-ups I've ever seen, and one of the greatest arcs I've ever seen. I'm not even gonna lie to you. But where best to begin with Pain than to start with his come up, you know what I'm saying? Let's start at the beginning and then see how in the world this man go from a man to a god. All right. So we start off with young Nagato Uzumaki. And yes, you heard that last name correct. He is an Uzumaki, meaning he's of the same clan as Naruto. And you could tell that based on his hair. In the realm of Naruto, typically the marks of an Uzumaki are their red hair and their large reserves of chakra. Naruto was the only exception because he inherited his daddy's hair. Though that makes me wonder how he would look with red hair, but that's neither getting here nor there. Might be approaching on Super Saiyan God territory, some copyright infringement. But yeah, so Nagato, he just lived in the Hidden Rain Village, just living life with his parents, just in the outskirts. You know, he was just living life, you know. And then, unfortunately, there's this thing that happened called War. The second great Shinobi War, in which his family kind of got murdered by Leaf Ninja. Yeah, so in case you don't know, like, yeah, our leaf boys, yeah, they ain't on the up and up. This is a ninja world, and wars bring out the worst in people. And yeah, some leaf shinobi came in, murdered Nagato's parents right in front of him. And in his rage upon seeing his family dead, Nagato awakened the Rinnegan for the first time and absolutely bodied them, put them in a pack, in a t-shirt. And in case you don't know what the Rinnegan is, the Rinnegan is a special set of eyes that are essentially, that at the time you thought, okay, only the Sage of Six Paths had it. So that lets you know, like, hey, he must be like a reincarnation of the Sage of Six Paths. He must be like his heir or something. And after he awakened it, like, it's supposed to grant you like immense power, the power of the gods. In the Naruto verse, not gods in the Dragon Ball verse or gods IRL, because that would get absurd. But But yeah, so Nagato's now an orphan, and he's scrounging around, and he meets up with Konan and Yahiko, who are also orphans like him, and they're both, like, really... And then they just formed, like, a little mini family. You know, they got together. They survived by any means necessary with stuff such as, you know, stealing food from other people, living in shacks and shelters. And all to say is that, hey, he was, as I said, Nagato, he just lived a hard life. And then Yaiko, pretty much his main thing is, like, he was, again, Nagato's best friend, and he wants to... and like he had a goal to end all war.
Mm-hmm.
And I do got to mention, like, again, that was Yahiko's who sowed that seed of, I want to stop all war because look at what it's doing. It's causing people to die. We become orphans because of war, and there's just no peace at all. And Nagato started to be like, you know what? My best friend's spitting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be part of that too. And yeah, so like in order to do that, they wanted to become ninjas, but of course there weren't any ninjas that were willing to teach them until they came across a certain goat, if you want to take over a little bit.
Yeah. So just them coming across Jiraiya and him doing kind of just like essentially the training arc with them. And just as listeners, we're going like for the next 3 weeks with Character Study Series, Philosophy of Pain. So it's going to be like a lot of people that were similar in this situation to Pain or Nagato at this time, where it's like next week we're going to do Scar from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which might is people, and then we're doing Eren Yeager, and we know how that ended. But again, like what you mentioned with just becoming orphans, it's like this cycle of war, which he gets into later, which we don't have to touch right now, but the cycle of war, okay, it creates people. So now these innocents, children in a sense, now I'm becoming like, oh, I hate these people that killed my family. And then again, like we touch on, because this is like started part of the cycle, get raised up. And later on, it's like, okay, now I hate these people. I destroy you. You destroy me. And it just keeps on going. But with that, at least with Jiraiya, he taught them. And I believe also at the time, Jiraiya was aware of this prophecy, if you want to get into that.
Yep, so the prophecy is the child of prophecy of a child who would... It was a prophecy, I believe, was sent by the great toad sages that, hey, a kid under your tutelage will rise up and will be able to bring peace to the ninja world. And Jiraiya at the time thought that it was Nagato because, hey, he's a young child, he's under Jiraiya's tutelage, and he has the Rinnegan, which again was believed to only be achieved by the Sage of Six Paths, meaning that Nagato should have been his reincarnation. So it's like, okay, let me go ahead and help raise him up. So yeah, Jiraiya trained them. He taught him his philosophy. Like, okay, like, hey, we should probably, you know, in order to bring peace in the ninja world, there are like certain things you may have to do. You know, we have to find a way to conquer hatred.
Yeah.
And Nagato, like, of course, being the user of the Rinnegan, mastered literally every jutsu that Jiraiya taught him. And then afterwards, like, Jiraiya had a test where he fought all three of them, and all three, like, passed. So Jiraiya's like, okay, you know what, guys? This was cool and all. I'm a head out, and you guys are now grown enough to fend for yourselves. You're cool. So yeah, Jiraiya left to go back to the Leaf Village and left the three of them on their own in the Hidden Rain Village. So at the time, they basically, you know, it's like, all right, we're just going to create a new organization called the Akatsuki. Yahiko's the leader. And he's like, okay, so basically what we're going to do, we're going to gather a bunch of like-minded individuals, and we're just going to try to end war. Just end war in and of itself. And it was actually popular. So popular, in fact, Jiraiya heard about it and he was really proud of him about it. But then the third great war happened.
Yes, okay, there we go.
Oh boy, all right. So in the third war, so firstly, they get approached by who we believe to be Madara Uchiha. And at this time, again, like Nagato, Yahiko, Konan, they're like teenagers at this point. And Madara, he's like, hey, And of course, as we all know, by hindsight, it ain't Madara. It's actually Obito. But he's like, hey, like, I'm going to show you how to use your Rinnegan. I'm a, you know, like, I want to give you like the full advantage you need in order to help bring peace to the ninja world. And but Yaiko is like, nah, I don't trust him. It's like my red flag is waving right now against this dude. So they reject his offer, and then in the midst of the war, they pretty much, the Akatsuki, they are going ham. They murdering, like, they taking souls left and right. So much so that the leader of the Hidden Rain Village, Hanzo, he's like, he's pulling a Palpatine. Scratch Palpatine. He actually pulled a Frieza. He's like, hold on. This group is getting too powerful. So much so that they're starting to threaten that I feel like my reign is about to be threatened. So now we got to kill them all off right now. And that's exactly what he did. So Hanzo, and with an alliance from resident Uchiha racist himself, Danzo, decided to get a bunch of ninjas just to go and hunt down the Akatsuki, murdered everyone. And when I say, with the exception of our favorite trio of Yahiko, Konan, and Nagato, I lied because Yahiko got put in a pack too, saving Nagato's life.
Mm.
And, oh man, so... So essentially, Hanzo basically threatened, like, hey, listen, I already killed all your crew. And if you don't kill the leader of the Akatsuki right now, I'm going to murder all three of you. And Yaiko's like, nah, see, I ain't going to let that happen because I ain't going to let Nagato be the one to kill me. I'm going to kill myself on Nagato's kunai.
It's tough.
Yeah, and at that point, it was raps for everybody else because Nagato, he goes crazy. He murders literally all the ninja, all the ops, and he kills Hanzo later, but spoiler alert. We'll get to that momentarily, but yeah, he murders all the ninjas around him, and Hanzo escapes.
I think, yeah, with that, that's tough because, like, the thing that people in these kind of places... War is profitable for a lot of people. And then also just like, not even just like with money, but in power, like you mentioned with Hanzo, where it's like, okay, these Akatsuki are good because they're part of our village. And then it's like, oh, no, they could take me out if they want to. So as we'll see in like the kind of the next 2 weeks, and then also previously, where it's like, oh, sometimes instead of like somebody actually being inferior to you, kind of like X-Men, where it's like, oh, we got to take them out because they are going to get rid of us if we don't. So it's just kind of like that human fear response with it. And then, yeah, being put in that situation where it's like you feel responsible for losing your best friend, and then Tobi and Madara working together to manipulate that evil and that hatred.
And yeah, that's really is deep. But essentially, as we know, like this situation with the death of his best friend, it shattered Nagato. Yeah. And also one thing I didn't mention is the fact that in that fight where he murdered all the ninjas, Nagato's body actually gets damaged severely, to where he gets put basically on a life support system. Not unlike Darth Vader. But but yeah, at this point, he basically severs his alliance with the hidden Rain Village. He decides to like cross it out, which basically becomes the first actual Akatsuki headband of crossing out your symbol, and also his worldview shatters. It's like, yeah, hey, what Jiraiya sensei taught me was a load of garbage. Like, the only way to break the cycle of death and hatred is by making sure everyone experiences the same pain that we have, and the same level of atrocities, agony, that everyone has such a shared experience that it will cause them to fear war and fear not having peace to make them want to desire peace, which is like, wow, like that's a take. I feel like a lot of people will agree on that take, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I guess it plays on the path of like empathy. But again, what we're talking about with this like philosophy of pain, where it's like sometimes the villain is less, it's not necessarily like the actions are evil, obviously. Like what he did is wild later on in the story, but it's like it's more of a misguided philosophy rather than just, oh, I want to take over the world, like say an Orochimaru or a Madara. Where with Nagato, it's like, yo, I lost everything. The two people that made me believe in this world, one abandoned me when I already didn't have parents, which you have to play into with Jiraiya, thinking about that. And then the second one is like, this is my best friend that made me want to believe, and now he's gone because my own village betrayed us. So with that, what you mentioned, how does that play into the infinite Tsukuyomi, if you will?
Yeah, so at this point, it actually kind of, so in terms of like Nagato and like what he wanted to do, see, Nagato and Obito, they actually had two separate plans.
Mm-hmm.
So Nagato, he just wanted all the tail beasts so that way he can create the ultimate weapon to kind of be like the ultimate deterrent, you know, kind of like what the Cold War basically was. Like, hey, if everyone got nuclear bombs and one person decides to launch it, it's wraps.
It's Fallout.
Yeah, it's Fallout. Not 3, not 4, not New Vegas, or 76, just Fallout. But that actually was like, he just wanted to have them as kind of like, hey, we got this thing in the back. We got the shooter. I dare one of y'all to try to step out of line.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're blowing this entire world up.
Mm-hmm.
Obito, he actually just wanted to actually create world peace by stripping people of their free will versus Nagato, which is like, hey, you still have free will to do whatever you want. But just know, if you step out of line, it's R.I.P.
And just like even getting into the Akatsuki, like as we know them, like as they were introduced late in the first Naruto series and then into Shippuden, where they became like the old crap, like this was an organization early on, just like an anime, where it was like, oh, everyone in this organization is a problem. Just like they were wiping people out left and right. I remember Asuma sensei getting clapped. that was a moment. But just like the danger of them, because again, they had Itachi, who like the entire first part of Naruto, they were like, Itachi is a problem. Please, we gotta take this dude out. Orochimaru on and off with the Akatsuki, and just even like the pull up on Gaara. So yeah.
And then and the fact that Pain, at least at the time, is the leader of the Akatsuki. Yeah. He's the face of it, so that lets you know, like, hey, this man had to be a problem. So when it comes to that, like later on, like he decides, like, okay, I'm gonna use the full power of my Rinnegan, create the six paths of pain, and for my most powerful path, I'm gonna use the dead body of Yahiko to basically puppeteer around as the Deva path, which is his most powerful one. Which is kind of like, hey, I'm still keeping my friend alive in spirit, and he's still the leader of the Akatsuki, and I'm just in here in the background puppeteering everything. So, like, as we go on, like, he recruits the other members of the Akatsuki, some more forcefully than others. Then he has them go out, gather each tailed beast. He actually is the one who personally goes out and takes out the six tails, because he's like, no. No pain. In the end, we get to the moment.
Oh, Lord.
His true introduction. So, actually, there's one thing I do need to preface before we get to the moment, is the fact that at this point, Nagato, at this point, I'm just going to call him Pain, because
yes,
he adopts that moniker, right? He goes to the Hidden Rain Village. He murders Hanzo.
Yeah.
Like, he murders him. And he doesn't stop there. He murders all of Hanzo's friends and relatives to ensure that nobody would get their get back for Hanzo.
Mm-hmm.
and he takes over as the Hidden Rain Village's leader. And now we get to Pure Depression. Okay. This is gonna be hard. All right. So Jiraiya, he decides that, hey, I have this lead, and like, okay, I have this lead in the Hidden Rain Village that somebody from the Akatsuki's there. And he sneaks his way in, and Pain, he recognizes that, hey, somebody snuck in, but I don't know who it is. So he sends Konan down to like to go fight, to go see who it is.
Yeah.
And then her and Jiraiya fight. And he's like, oh snap, it's my old sensei. And then she reports to Pain that, hey, it's our old master Jiraiya. And then Pain sends out one of his paths. He sends out the animal path, which I'm going to explain like their powers, like as they're introduced, like animal path does a bunch of summonings, boom, done, summons like immortal beasts. So then like, okay. And then, Jiraiya realizes, hold on, that ain't Nagato, even though he has the Rinnegan.
Yes.
And he recognizes that, like, hold on, I met like the corpse of that person. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to like learn is that each person that is a path of pain, Jiraiya actually met on his travels.
Which is crazy.
And unironically, it was all coincidence that he happened to have those bodies.
Crazy.
So essentially, like, he's just like, Jiraiya is like, hey, Nagato, what are you doing? Why are you the leader of the Akatsuki? Why are you out here being a total op right now? And then Nagato, Pain's like, hey, listen, sensei, your philosophy, like, is wrong. Like, it's pure garbage. I know. I am the child of prophecy. I know the path to peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the only one willing to shed blood for it. I will create peace. Look, the strongest men, the toughest decisions, strongest wills. That's what I am. I have the strongest will to do it.
So yeah. This was a molly whopping of the highest order.
The strongest jumping of all time.
Jeez Louise. I mean, like, Jiraiya was putting in work, but it was just like he didn't know how Pain's powers work. So like eventually when he got to the point where he summoned the two toad sages, the older ones, and like got his arm blasted off, got his throat crushed. So throughout the course of the fight, he understood what was happening and then like relayed the message through chakra. But then because like he finally was like, oh, I know who you are, actually. And then by the time he did, he got destroyed so bad that he wasn't even one of the people reincarnated for the fourth great ninja war.
He couldn't be reincarnated because what happens is that he gets stabbed multiple times. And then gets blown up and his body sinks to the bottom of the Hidden Rain Village,
yeah,
which apparently is a bottomless pit. Oh, so his body could not be recovered.
So that was wraps for him. So, yeah, you want to take on kind of like the relation to how Pain ties into Naruto in a sense?
Oh, yeah. So essentially at this point, we do not know like what Nagato's actual body looks like, but like we just get like the Deva path, which looks just like Naruto but with orange hair and obviously the Katsuki and the piercings and all that good jazz. But he looks like an older Naruto, and the fact his name is Nagato, of the same clan of the Uzumakis, he's a child of prophecy and he's a student of Jiraiya. And the fact, like, hey, they both started off at, like, pretty rough points.
Yeah.
Unironically, at the hands of the Hidden Leaf. Unironically. and they're both just trying to achieve the path to peace, to achieve what Jiraiya Sensei is wanting. It's just the fact that they both went on completely different paths to achieve said point. And because of that, like, you could kind of say that, like, Nagato is... And this is something that like was a theory at the time of the manga, was that, hold on, is Pain Naruto's brother?
Ooh,
or like did he, or like was he like he had to be a relative of some kind to Naruto, because of just all those connections and all those parallels of like, hey, I lost my friends. I mean, Naruto at that time, well, he lost Sasuke to the, he lost Sasuke, and then you lose Asuma Sensei, and that's about it. In terms of like who he loses, that's very close. Oh yeah, and I guess technically Gaara, like, who died.
Yeah,
but then he came back like minutes later, so so that technically didn't count. But yeah, so like essentially like both of them, like they shared like very similar lives. It's just like another case of like, hey, when the tough times come, are you gonna crack under pressure or are you just gonna pull it through?
I think also it's so interesting to do character studies from like non-main character perspectives because we can see how they impact the main character. So at this time, Naruto, like you mentioned, he's dealing with a lot of hatred in his heart in Shippuden at this stage. So Sasuke is gone and is like on a different power level at this point. He already, like, when he saw Orochimaru the first time, is like on site. That was the first time he went to four, and then he harmed Sakura in the process. And it was like, oh man, I have a lot of hate in my heart because I wasn't strong enough to save Sasuke. I failed Sakura. I hate Orochimaru. And he's going through that arc. And then he just lost Jiraiya, who is like essentially a surrogate dad to him. And then tying in a bit later, he's like, okay, I got to take out Pain. And then also the Akatsuki are after me this entire time. So if I can't save these people, what am I doing? So we'll get to what Pain does later that sets Naruto off the edge onto the path of hatred and pain completely. So,
Yeah, as you say, like he was on, like Naruto already had a bunch of hatred. And don't forget, the Ninetales is literally hatred itself at the time. Yeah. So he has to deal with that like on a constant basis.
This isn't Kurama. This is Ninetales.
Yeah, this is Ninetales. There is no friendliness. There was no friendliness at all. He was a demon. But at this point, oh, here comes the assault. So Pain, he pulls up with Konan. They pull up to the Hidden Leaf. Bodies start dropping.
You just look up in the sky. What? Who's that?
And then just six people drop into the ground. I'm like, oh, nah.
Jeez.
So it, and like literally they go there. It's like, hey, we know Naruto is here at this time. Naruto is literally in the the Toad Sage's facility training to learn Sage Mode to get his get back. And yeah, he's in like each path of pain is off doing its own thing, like taking people left and right. You have like the Asura path, which I believe was basically that's the one where you could. That's the torpedo guy. That's the torpedo guy. He's just blowing up buildings left and right. Pray the path, just taking people out. You have the human path, which is taking people's souls out of their bodies. You see every single. And then, of course, you have the animal path, summoning just millions of animals, just taking people out. Everybody scrambling. They trying to figure out what to do. And then the demon path, he's just out here big chilling. He runs into Iruka Sensei. And as you know, Iruka Sensei is the first full ninja outside of is the first person outside of our good boy, the main man, Mr. Taiyuchi, ramen guy, the true goat, who believed in Naruto, and he was about to put Iruka in a pack. Then Kakashi had to come and step in.
Pack watch.
And this fight was good animated and it was good, but
no shots.
Nah, Kakashi, oh Lord. All right. This gonna make my heart drop a bit because Kakashi's one of my favorite characters and he gets put in a pack by Pain.
Now, when I was watching this, I remember younger, I'm trying to recall how Kakashi actually quote unquote died in the scene. Cause I know Pain like took the metal piece and he tossed it, but he used the Kamui, right?
Yeah, so.
And then he just like died from exhaustion or what?
Yeah, so what happens, like, of course, he used Kamui to stop the nail from impaling his head. Mm-hmm. But then, I believe, like, the Deva Path, no, the Asura Path sent, like, a missile going towards Choji.
Yes, that's what it was.
And then Kakashi uses the Kamui one last time to save Choji from dying. And that's what kills Kakashi, because he used up all of his chakra.
Yeah.
And then you see Kakashi wake up. He's at the bonfire with his dad in the afterlife. And I'm just like, nah.
See, this was different. I know, like, Madara had, like, the, like, a lot of cold scenes later where it's like, hey, oh, you stopped a meter. Let me drop another one. And then, like, do you want to fight, what was it, one?
You want each of your, you want each of my clones to use Susanoo or not?
Yeah. So with, I know, but I mean, this scene, like, cause it was like so personal, with Pain, whereas like he was taking out literally everyone. Tsunade got pack watched too, right? In this scene.
Oh yeah. So like right after David Path, he decides to pull up on Fifth Hokage herself. He's like, and like, they don't fight. That's the thing. That's the crazy part. So he just goes like, hey, where Naruto at? It's like, I don't know where he is. Like, I ain't gonna tell you either. And he's like, all right, bet. All right. So, and like, you do know I killed your not husband, right? I put your boy in a pack, mm-hmm. and I know he's stronger than you.
Dang.
Watch what I'm about to do. And all the time, like, he's spouting his philosophy, you know, like, hey, like, I'm doing all this for world peace. Like, mind you, all this time that he's committing all these atrocities, everybody dying left and right, he keeps spouting off about peace.
Yes.
So then he just rises up into the sky. He says, you know what? All y'all need to go. It's like, if y'all ain't gonna tell me what I need to know, then y'all are useless to me. No Pain. Almighty push.
Boom. Destruction.
Entire village is gone.
That is scary, like, how strong he was, man. Like, do you think he could have took Madara before Madara got the buff, the Tentail buff?
I don't know. Only because of the fact that they keep spouting about how Madara is him and how different he is. And the fact that, like, spoiler alert, it's revealed that Nagato's Rinnegan are actually Madara's.
Mm.
So if both of them are like at the same, like, equal state with both of them having the same Rinnegan, my money's actually on Madara, only because he used to it and those are his eyes, so he would know it better. Whereas Nagato, he using what he got and he using that to its max potential. But
yes.
So, but Madara's different.
So with that, his pull up necessitated one of the other best pull ups in all of anime. So Naruto with that was clean, man. So we don't have to touch on to all their fight. Essentially, Pain is like, Naruto's taken out a lot of the other paths, but Pain puts him in the you know, with the
chokehold, choke slam,
yeah,
stab him, stab his hand,
put them skewers in him, and then we get to the part that when I first saw this, because you know how I feel about Hinata.
No. We got to talk about what he said, what he was talking about beforehand.
Go for it,
We got to talk about the cycle of hatred speech.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot skip over that before we get to pure violation. So
I forgot that was before.
Yeah, so essentially, what happens is that, like, of course, like, Pain, he managed to have Naruto sit down. And what he says is that, like, hey, all right, I'm doing this all for the sake of peace. And then Naruto, he's just like, for peace, look at what you've done. Look at all the carnage you've wrought. Look at all the people you killed. And he's like, and then Pain is like, okay, what is your plan? What is your plan to achieve world peace? What do you want to do? He's like, all right, first of all, I'm going to kill you. And then I'm going to bring peace to the ninja world. And Pain's like, okay, you want to kill me? Cool. So you kill me. What about my friends?
Mm-hmm.
What about my family? Don't you think that they will have just as much of a drive to come and kill you for taking me out? And this part, and he's like, and also, how in the world are you going to bring peace to the ninja world? Tell me, what's your plan? What is your plan? And this is probably perhaps the biggest point in Naruto's life and in many anime fans' life, because as we know, it's like every time it's like people like, hey, I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to bring like justice and truth and justice in the world. He's like, OK, how are you going to do that? And Naruto's left speechless. He couldn't think of anything to say.
And this is the person that we joke about talk no jutsu all the time, and like he changes the hearts of almost every villain. Obviously, if you've seen the show, you know what happens later, but this was like one of the first times where he had no words to say to the villain to change their hearts, because it was like he was right. Again, we've touched on the first part of Pain's life where his parents died because of the Leaf Village. So then he took out the Leaf Village. Then he, you know, partnered with Yahiko, forming the Akatsuki. Akatsuki too powerful. They were taking out people. His own village is like, hey, gotta take you out. So then when he becomes Pain, he goes, oh, I'm gonna get my get back. I'm gonna take out the head of the Leaf Village and his family. And it's just like that cycle, like he mentioned. It's like, now, okay, I'm at the stage where I'm facing you, Naruto. You're feeling, again, this hatred. You just lost Jiraiya as well. What are you going to do? If you take me out, my people, my Akatsuki are going to come get you. And this is going to keep going and keep going and keep going. So
it's only that cycle of vengeance, justice, and hatred.
And like you see that in the world too, where it's a lot of, well, with his philosophy, where it's like, hey, we achieved peace over a pile of corpses. And that is, it's something you have to reckon with. It's easy to avoid, but it's just like, wow. We accomplished what we have to accomplish, but we have to sweep all this blood underneath the rug or just like clean it up and pretend it wasn't there. So then we get to the violation.
Yup.
So baby girl Hinata, she steps in for her man and is fighting for love. And Pain is like at first he's like, oh, you're really trying to fight me. And then he realizes that she's like, yo, I'm just trying to free Naruto. I can't take you. And he's like, okay, bet. And then he hits him with that other line that was cold after he took out Hinata.
And don't forget, like, at this point, like, Hinata, she, like, Naruto's like, Hinata, leave.
Yeah.
You are not her right now. You are not up to it. This man is actually him. And she's like, nah, I'm saying because you my mans and I love you.
Oh, my God.
And right as she says, I love you, he just goes, all right, Shinra Tensei, almighty push, put in a pack, and then stabs her.
I gotta hear what he said. I can't remember the lines in which he said it, where it was like pain leaves to something and then love leaves to all of that.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Out of love, sacrifice is born. Out of sacrifice, hatred is born, and then we are able to know pain.
No pain, and then stabs her. Oh my gosh. And then hits him, Naruto, off the cold line of, do you hate me now? And oh my gosh, this fight.
The darkest pull up of all time. Like,
this was Naruto's gear 5, if you will.
I wouldn't say all that. I think this was more like Ichigo's Vasto Lorde pull up.
Yeah.
Where Naruto, he's like, you killed my woman's. Even though she ain't my woman's yet. Dark, corrupt, no, not true. Nine-tails, handle my lightweight.
Oh my gosh. So again, even with that, because we don't have to cover the entire fight, where Pain's philosophy ties into the main character, where you see he's an effective villain because Naruto finally gives into the hatred, almost like allowing the Nine-tails to slowly take over, get up to 8. And he was about to rip off the seal to let out the knife before his pop stepped in, but this is a Pain episode. So with that, Pain was like, oh, you know, when he took him out with that final Rasengan, which was a sick scene. He's like, oh, I know this isn't your real body, because now that I've mastered Sage Mode, I can like sense the chakra of different people. And then they have their conversation towards the end of Pain's life.
Yeah, so at this point, essentially, first of all, like, it becomes a talk no jutsu moment, but it doesn't start off that way, because like Naruto, he pulls up, and Nagato, they're both like talking about their philosophy. They're both talking about everything. And then Naruto, he's like, listen, after everything you've done, I still hate you.
Yeah.
I cannot forgive you for what you've done, but I'm no longer willing to abide by this cycle of hatred anymore. This cycle of revenge, because it's just like, I will not do any harm to you because of the fact that it's only going to repeat the cycle. And I don't have the answer now, but I'm going to find the answer on how to conquer hatred in a way that won't cause mass genocide.
And you know what's crazy? That moment, like sometimes in movies, it'll be like, oh, revenge, like a revenge movie. And the entire movie is like, oh, I have to get revenge on this one person. And they kill like, I don't know, 99 people. And then the last person is the 100th. And they'll be like, you know what? Revenge doesn't help my soul. I'll let you live. And you're like, what? You just killed 99 people. You like threw someone in a wood chipper. Yeah. And it's like, what are you talking about? But for this one, it was so earned because it was framed as Payne was always philosophical, as in talking. It wasn't, again, him just being, oh, I'm evil for the sake of being evil. It's like, no, I have a reason for doing this. It's completely misguided. But with that being like, hey, if you kill me, you're on the cycle of hatred. How do you stop it? And then Naruto actually like this was a big character moment for Naruto, because throughout the course of the rest going into the Great Ninja War, and then even his interaction with the Ninetales, it's like, I can't be this hate monster that I've been all of Shippuden up to this point. I have to change in some method, and I'm going to figure out what the faith that Jiraiya put into you and then put into me to move forward and to help this ninja world before aliens come in and attack us.
Not going to talk about this, the pain episode, but yeah, it's like, even from this point, it's like literally like as Naruto was talking, it's all framed like in the anime, and I believe the manga as well, it's framed with like just intersparts like flashbacks to Naruto and Jiraiya, and then Nagato and Jiraiya, and both of them having those conversations with their mentor. And then like Nagato's like, hold on, I'm starting to see like a lot of myself in this kid Naruto, a lot of like my younger self in him, and like his hopefulness and youthfulness. But the fact that I put him through all this hell, and he's decided not to crack. You know what? I'm gonna put my faith in this kid and hope that he will be able to complete the dream that myself and Jiraiya wanted. And he uses the final life technique, which ends up killing Nagato, but bringing back everyone that he killed in the village.
That's crazy too, because like obviously we've got to the point where like we know what happened after this fight, but in the framing of Naruto, I lost my entire village, or a good portion of the village. I lost the one I love. I lost Kakase Sensei. The fifth Hokage, I believe, is like in a pack.
Well, she's like full coma because she's not dead yet, but she's like,
she was healing people, right? And she healed
pretty much everybody, and it put her like at 1%. Like if she kept going, she would have been with Kakashi.
Yeah, and it's like, so there's nothing I can do to bring anybody back. That's where he is framework. So for him to be like, I'm not going to kill you after this is wow. Because he doesn't know that Payne can bring them all back, which is crazy. So for him to be moved to that point, and then Madara's pissed, boy.
Ooh, yeah. Madara and Obito are pissed because that was not part of the plan.
No.
The plan was for Nagato to use that jutsu on Madara. It's like, no. You're supposed to use that jutsu on him, not on them. So, not on my op, Kakashi.
He was definitely mad. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of like gets to it. So anything else you want to kind of touch on?
Literally, that's just his arc. Pretty much that's how his story ends. But then he comes back in the fourth Great War. But there's really not much to say there. It's basically like he comes back as a zombie, reanimated by Kabuto, and he runs into Naruto again, but now sees that Naruto not only is confident in himself, confident in him like somewhat knowing the answer, and the fact he controlled the Ninetale Fox, he's like, hey, you know what, Naruto, you did good.
Mm-hmm.
And as kind of like my younger brother, because he basically calls him a younger brother at that point, he's like, yeah, my younger brother, he finally figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And literally it's just him acknowledging like, hey, Naruto found the answer, and now I can die in peace again.
Yeah.
So
after that, we usually touch on relatability, popularity, and just philosophy. So I feel like we've covered like enough of the philosophy, but popularity, like Pain Wow. If you want to touch on that, I feel like he's the number one, like, most popular Naruto villain, because I feel like Madara is the most powerful, but he's not the most popular.
I feel like he's not the most popular, mostly due to what happens to him at the end.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, but yeah, like Nagato, like Pain, I believe like he definitely is the most popular because of just A, his philosophy on Pain, it's real. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that we touched upon it throughout this entire episode, like that philosophy is real and it literally applies to today. It applied to when it was released. It applies tomorrow. It applies all the way back in 1943. But like the philosophy is eternal. It's just like his method was wrong. And that's the big thing, is that like he was wrong. And when he was brought up with a better solution, he's like, oh, okay. And then also the fact that he's perhaps one of the few villains to actually stump the hero.
Yep.
And by stump the hero, I don't mean like in a fight wise, because that title goes to Frieza, Aizen, like everybody before they get their get back. Any main villain before they get their get back.
Yeah.
But in terms of stumping the hero on the hero's goals and philosophies, and it's like, because again, when he said like, how are you going to achieve peace? Mm-hmm. And Naruto says nothing. That's raps.
Yeah, it's
it's raps.
So just to kind of wrap up, since like we are going to, like I mentioned, for next week, do Scar from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and then the third one, Eren Yeager. Why is Pain's philosophy wrong, but Eren's correct?
Because, all right. Here's how it goes. Pain, he wants to stop all war, and he wants to bring peace to the world by having a deterrent. Sure, he's going to have to drop a lot of bodies to get there, but once he gets there, we chilling. He chilling. As a matter of fact, I don't even think Pain's philosophy is wrong. In fact, I believe if Pain and Eren got together, they might be in collusion.
That'll be the end of the world, for real.
They might be in collusion.
Get 80%. They want to stop them.
Like, literally, it'll be like, Eren takes out the 80%. It's like, all right. And then if Eren gets put in the pack, Pain takes out the other 20. It's easy. It's easy work. It's easy light work. But yeah, and then, like, when it comes to Eren, like, he also wants to bring peace. He's bringing peace for his family. He wants to bring peace to the world. And he just realizes, hey, listen, I, like, all y'all are being racist towards us. The only way to the only good way to deal with a racist is with a dead racist. So we gotta, you called us enemies?
We'll cover that in 2 weeks. We'll cover that in 2 weeks.
You call us enemies? And hey, I don't know what to tell you. The answer goes both ways. But yeah, again, like Pain's philosophy is like really fascinating. And like, again, it's timeless. The Cycle of Hatred speech is like in top two anime speeches of all time.
It's up there, yeah. All right, yeah, so with that, we wrap up to start look at Pain. Like we mentioned, one of the most popular anime villains of all time. Again, next week, Scar from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which I feel like we would have to put a trigger warning on Scar because of what happened to his people, and just like what's going on in the world today. And then in 2 weeks, we do Eren Yeager. So with that, we get into our What's Hot. So this is what's popular in anime, movies, TV shows, comic books, just the nerd culture. So Meech, what you got?
All right, let me just go ahead and get this done right now. All right, One Piece staying goated as always. Ninja Kamui, I believe the last episode, there's still like three more episodes, so forget what I said.
I feel like Ninja Kamui had one of the biggest fall offs within a season.
Yeah, and I think like 99% of it is due to the fact they swapped from hand animation to CGI.
Yeah, probably.
And also
Mecha.
Yeah, and also a thing about that is apparently they are changing back to the hand-drawn animation for I think the last two episodes.
Wow.
Which I'm just like, bruh, okay. Mashal's, yep, Mashal's good. Go Loser Ranger, let's get it. I love the show, I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Nice.
Also, the My Hero Academia season 7 teaser dropped, and let's just say some cooking's about to happen, literally and figuratively.
Is that Todoroki part you always be talking about next season or this season?
Oh no, it's from the way it's looking, it's about to be this season.
Oh yeah, I'm ready for it.
We about to see some cooking. We about to see and we ain't talking about Shoji. But yeah, and then also the Spy Family movie dropped. We haven't gone and seen it yet at the time of this recording, but best believe I will.
I will go see it.
Yep. And then, of course, in terms of movies, Transformers 1 trailer dropped. Looks very interesting. I'm not going to lie to you about that. We also, in the realm of TV as well, we have X-Men 97.
Last 2 weeks, the peak of the mountain has been reached.
Distress. And also I want to ask you something about X-Men, right?
Yeah.
So you know how in Disney Plus, you know, you have that option to skip intro?
Yeah.
Do you think that button should be removed when dealing with X-Men or X-Men
97? Yeah, absolutely. Because I was about to do it one time, and then I thought about the intro, and I was like, oh, no. Because it's easy to forget. And I was like, no, we are keeping it going. And they changed the intro, but we got to keep it going.
We got to keep it going. All right. So Bad Batch is approaching its finale, and that's going to get replaced by Tales of the Empire, which, Barriss Offee, your time is coming. Just best believe we coming for you. And then also, The Acolyte will be coming out soon. I'll be ready for that. Fallout is a goated series. If you haven't watched it, this is how you do video game adaptations, folks.
Halfway through, it is so good.
I'm going to need all y'all to take notes. Every video game developer, If you can give me a God of War that's like this,
are we starting from the very
you know good and well where we starting off at?
Oh my God!
Because you can't appreciate Dad Kratos without experiencing Demon Kratos first.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
So I'm gonna need that ASAP. It has to be by the same peoples, otherwise I don't want it. Chucky is back, and he's slashing the never. And then also we have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Which will be our last episode of the podcast.
It will, because just know somebody here ain't going to hold back.
It'll be the two of them.
It's somebody. Also, Abigail released, and that's actually a pretty good horror movie. Comics-wise, the Miles Morales comics peak. And also in the newest comic, there's a reference to a certain manga called Jujutsu Kaisen, gets reference in there. And speaking of Jujutsu Kaisen references, Nightwing,
ooh,
has a Jujutsu Kaisen reference in the cover.
Nice.
And then, speaking of Jujutsu Kaisen, Jujutsu Kaisen, the manga, going stupid.
Ooh.
There's some unfrauding. We need apologies in the in the chat for certain characters that you've been calling frauds the whole time because they got their get back.
One of them was definitely on Fraud Watch, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then same thing with My Hero Academia. There's some frauds in there that you guys need to send your apologies to ASAP. And actually, same thing with Boruto. And that's surprising that I'm actually giving praises to Boruto right now. But a fraud got unfrauded, all right? They're no longer on watch. The series may still be on, it's still on Fraud Watch, but
the anime is definitely...
Definitely the anime is on Fraud Watch, but the manga, it's still on Fraud Watch, but certain characters within it are not on Fraud Watch. But yeah, and then of course Games Rise of Ronin still looks great.
I heard Kill Your Darlings just dropped its last comic.
Yeah, it did. I'm sad about that. That's why I didn't want to mention it, because I want to pretend that it keeps going forever. But yeah, MK1, Ermac dropped. And then also Star Wars Outlaws, it should be coming soon. And what you got?
Just quickly, I mean, you covered basically everything. Only thing, I'm going to just get into Civil War. It's the A24 movie. I just watched it.
Ooh.
Last week, as of people listening to it, I remember texting you about how mad I was about one character that wasn't locked in. I was so torn on whether to make this to get it off your chest or freak out, geek out. But I can't do either without spoiling. All I'll say is, like, it's a very good movie, but don't, if you're like on the fence, don't go into it thinking it's a political thriller. It's focused on journalists and it's like their mission, and it just kind of stays there. So something like it's not going to be like, oh, the idea, ideologies of like what's happening in the war and stuff like that. Because like it doesn't even explain like how it gets started. It's actually like takes place like at the very end of the war. So there are some things I would have loved for it to have got more in depth with, but it's not like the divisive thing that people are trying to make it into. It's a very good story, except for one character that I wish would get deleted from my memory. But other than that, it's a really good story. No, Meech, if you watched it, you'll be like, yo, this character is the worst by the end of the movie.
Oh.
They were not locked in. You know, like when a character isn't locked in and all the other locked in people have to suffer. That's why. So, but A24 Civil War, it's definitely a great movie. I would recommend it. Just temper your expectation is what I'm.
Okay. Cool. I'll definitely take a look at that. But also, here's another thing. Let's go ahead and add a get it off your chest moment right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
This was planned.
This ain't planned. Because this thing happened yesterday.
Oh.
So, have you heard of the YouTube channel Watcher?
Yes.
You know, with Ryan Bergara and Shane Madej?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you don't know who these two people are, they're two content creators. They were part of BuzzFeed, best known for BuzzFeed Unsolved, with their true crime, and then Supernatural. I love the shows to death. I rewatch them on a near weekly basis because actually yesterday I was watching the OJ, their episode on OJ, for no particular reason other than the fact that he gone. So I need to know if he did or not. So they made an announcement yesterday that essentially they're retiring.
No.
Yeah. And you think like this would be an appreciation type post, like, okay, let's appreciate. No, what they did and like what they said is the part where I need to get off my chest. All right. So what they said was that, all right, we're retiring. And while they were talking about like their retirement, they were talking about how the funds for like filming episodes, like the costs kept getting higher and higher. So guess what they decided to do?
What?
They started to hide all of their videos on their channel behind a paywall.
Dang.
So they say, okay, for like a monthly fee of $5.99 or a yearly fee of $59.99, you can get access to all of our content again and be able like, hey, convince us to start making more videos.
Mm-hmm.
Help fund further and newer videos. To which I'm just like, bruh.
That's right.
Come on, man. Like, y'all are at the top of y'all game. Y'all are doing just fine. And now y'all decide to pull this stunt? You guys were my goats, all right?
No longer.
And now the goats have to go. I'll still rewatch your older episodes because they're still on the BuzzFeed channel. So y'all have no control of that. And the fact that those episodes are also on Hulu. So y'all can't touch those either. So I'm going to just rewatch y'all's BuzzFeed Unsolved episodes and not all the new content y'all got out now, because that's just absurd.
All right. That's unfortunate. So I say we get our plugs and we get up out of here and you can watch all their previous videos.
Yeah. So our Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter, and Threads under BlurredC22, like, comment, subscribe, and stay up to date on all notifications and our release schedules. We also have our YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod. If you donate a little chatter to us, you get access to exclusive episodes never before seen. And you still have access to all the episodes for free and not under a specific paywall. You're welcome. And then you have our Discord page, which is linked in our Instagram page. Go join this fine community of degenerates and join our citizenry. And then finally, we have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. Submit episode suggestions, geek out, freak outs, as well as random fan theories, questions for Q&As, reviews for the episodes, as well as reviews for me, which will go into a spam box never to be read in the light of day. And then finally, I am the Jedi Ronin on TikTok. However long we got TikTok left, we don't know. It might be wrapped soon. And then, and yeah, that's all I got.
All right. For my individual author pages, you can catch my Instagram at Mitri_Dash. So that is Mitri_Dash. For my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, A Most Regular Tale, that is available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. All right, so let's leave people with some words of encouragement after this very heavy episode.
All right, so remember that in this world, you may face a lot of pain, but from that pain brings empathy. From that pain, you're able to empathize and sympathize with others, and it's only through said sympathy and empathizing that you may not want others to go through what you went through. And that, I believe, is one of the few steps you need to achieve actual peace.
Perfect. Can't say it better myself. So, like we always say, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurry Sea Podcast.
See you later, and no pain.